Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So there were riots in Athens yesterday to protest severe government austerity measures in that country's debt crisis. And there were riots in Vancouver, as we just heard on the news, over the Canucks losing the Stanley Cup. So human beings react the same way to having their wages and pensions savaged as to losing a hockey game. And in Boston, which won the Stanley Cup, the crowds in the streets were peaceful, but here's what they chanted. USA, USA. So we riot the same way over losing pensions or hockey games, and we celebrate the same way for killing Osama bin Laden and for beating Canada in sports. Human beings, you gotta love them. Good morning, everyone. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. They are not chanting USA, USA in Trenton right now. Rather, state workers are protesting an agreement announced last night by Governor Christie and Democratic leaders in the legislature to require more worker contributions to the health plans and the pensions. Now, the unions are livid that this is being imposed on them by law, not negotiated through collective bargaining. And they seem especially incensed that the top Democrats in the legislature, Senate President Stephen Sweeney and Assembly Speaker Sheila Oliver, are going along with what they see as a Chris Christie, Scott Walker kind of move. So let's talk about it and compare it to the Cuomo proposal for pension reform in New York and the Wisconsin plan. Are they all becoming Scott Walker now? With me first is Mark Magyar. He's a Rutgers professor and blogger for NJSpotlight.com. Very conversant with labor issues. Professor Magyar, thanks for coming on. Hi.
Hi, you're quite welcome.
What did Governor Christie and the Democrats in the legislature actually agree to?
What they agreed to was a compromise that'll require state and local government workers, police, firefighters, and teachers to pay more into their pension plans, and to contribute more toward their health care insurance coverage. This is the requirement that they could contribute more to their health care coverage is particularly controversial, because while pension contributions have traditionally been set by the legislature, health benefits have always been collectively bargained in the state, and in that way the stripping public employees' rights to bargain over health care follows in the wake of similar legislation in Wisconsin, in Ohio, and in Massachusetts.
Absolutely. Now, we just got a tweet from Governor Christie's office, which he sent to his list, and the tweet says, "Big problems equal big solutions. After months of discussions, we reached an agreement to reform New Jersey's pension and health benefits system. Can't stop now." So, listeners in New Jersey, do you like this? We'll keep filling in the details. We'll get reaction from a member of the legislature, a Democrat who I think is not going to go along with this. What do you think? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And Professor Magyar from Rutgers, last I saw, the numbers were not out, the specific contributions that people would have to make. But to give our listeners a sense of what kind of a whopping number was being asked for, Governor Christie originally wanted the health contributions to go up from 1.5% of the premium to 30% for state workers. Do we know yet how close he came to that big number?
It's a sliding scale under this proposal. One of the changes that was made in the compromise pushed for by Senate President Steve Sweeney has health care contributions being made on a sliding scale based on the wages earned, based on a salary. So therefore, Christie gets the 30% for top wage earners, those making like 80, 90, $100,000 and more, but the a contribution at the bottom end is more on the 8% range for those who are among the lower paid employees in the state.
Mm-hmm. And it, what is it, a couple of percent extra with respect to the pensions?
When it comes out to the pensions, it's 1% immediately for state and local government workers, and for teachers, 1.5% immediately for police and firefighters, and then an additional 1% for teachers and state and local government workers, phased in over the next 7 years. The CIWA at today's rally is putting out a total cost estimate for their workers that shows a combination of the increased pension contributions and the increased healthcare contributions once it's phased in. I would cost workers workers who earn $65,000 a year $6,058, and for workers who make only $25,000 a year, it would only be $1,142. So it'd be one fifth as much.
Can I ask you to clarify one thing? You talked about teachers and police officers, for example. Mm-hmm. So this just doesn't cover state workers.
No,
this covers all public employees in the state, including police officers, teachers in every municipality, et cetera.
That's correct. Everyone who is in the state pension system in any way, which includes some part-time workers. Basically, one of the arguments that was made was that it's difficult to negotiate health care benefits on a town by town and a school board by a school board basis, and this was cited by Governor Christie as a reason for the state to oppose an across the board healthcare contributions by legislation.
However, to be clear, right? I guess this is what you're saying. This will cover current employees, because New York State,
yes,
as some of our listeners know, is having some of the same discussion about pension reform, but it's only for future hires.
No, this covers all current employees. It does not cover retirees.
Here is a teacher in Jersey City, Karen. You're on WNYC. Karen, thank you for calling.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I strongly believe that if all of these proposals go through, that public education in the state of New Jersey, which are very good schools, we have great schools, they will be killed. I believe this is nationwide also, that from Wisconsin, now New Jersey, next is New York. They're trying to kill public education. And the reason why I say that is because I've been teaching for 15 years. If all these proposals go through, I figure I have about another 20 years in the classroom, I'll never receive any further pay. My salary will go down. It will not go up.
But wait, Karen, let me stop you there for a second, because Governor Christie's position, and I guess now the Democratic leaders of the legislature too, is that this is a way to save wages and pensions for people like you in the future, because otherwise the pension system will go bankrupt. This way, there's going to be enough of a contribution flow from workers as well as from the taxpayers that you can be more confident today than you were yesterday that you'll actually have a retirement with a pension. Why do you reject that?
Okay. I don't believe that the pension system is going to go bankrupt. I believe that is just something that they are putting out there to disguise the real issues. we have a millionaire's tax that the governor did not reinstate. We could get money that way. My pension, as it stands right now, and a few teachers that are retiring, they're retiring with a $40,000 pension. And there will be no cost of a living adjustment either. They are taking that away. So if I am contributing more to my pension, which I already contribute, and I already contribute to my health insurance, and there's no cost of living adjustment, I will take a cut, and because I am already at right. the top of the salary guide. So,
and it is, and I'm going to, Karen, I'm going to leave it there so I can get some other voices on, but I get your point, and this is definitely a pay cut. Whether the union's figures are exactly accurate or not, it is definitely a pay cut because money will be coming out of the salaries of public employees, going into their pension funds and their health funds, but without, obviously, an upward wage adjustment to compensate for that. Also joining us now, and I should say that the union seems especially furious at the Democratic legislative leaders, Senate President Stephen Sweeney and Assembly Speaker Sheila Oliver right now, because they forged this agreement with the governor. They're saying Christie is Christie, but why would the Democrats go along? And joining us now is the Deputy Majority Leader of the New Jersey Assembly, Assemblyman Reed Gasciora of Mercer County. Assemblyman, welcome back to WNYC. Hello.
Glad to be here. Thanks.
And I gather you actually don't agree with what your leadership has done. Is that correct?
Well, I think that it shouldn't have been behind closed doors, and then there should have been a wider discussion with the Democratic caucus. That didn't take place. So as a member, it's hard to understand why leadership is taking this position. Notwithstanding, I represent the Capital District, which probably has the most amount of state workers, and it's going to have a great impact in this area. State workers make up the middle class, and I think we all understand that reform has to take place, but I think we need to base it on the collective bargaining system, which has served our country and our state well.
Now, explain that, because the unions are saying this is like Scott Walker in Wisconsin because health and pension terms are being imposed by the governor and legislature rather than negotiated through collective bargaining. Have they always collectively bargained these things before?
Yes, this was always part of the collective bargaining agreement. And as a Democrat, I don't know why we're following the Scott Walker model either. And as far as the governor's call for shared sacrifice, it truly needs to be shared and not just among the working families. For instance, the state has not taken up a millionaire's tax, something that the Democrats should be pushing in exchange for this. So it should have been better negotiated. And clearly the governor's not sharing the sacrifice when he's taking helicopter rides to baseball games, when state workers are on the front lines every day protecting the health and well-being of the community, and they should not be the scapegoat, or we should balance the budget on their backs.
Jamie in Englewood, you're on WNYC. Jamie, thanks for calling.
Good morning, Brian. The deficit means we've spent money we don't have. I think these unions don't get it. We don't have the money. It's got to come from somewhere. They always want it from somebody else. Now we're asking them to give their fair share. That's the problem. A deficit. Do they understand economics?
No, I think we should all join in shared sacrifice, and I think we should consider a millionaire's tax. I think everybody's on board with a shared sacrifice if it's truly shared. We all agree that we all have to roll up our sleeves and take care of the economic woes of this country, but it shouldn't just be on the workers' backs.
Jamie, do you disagree with that about shared sacrifice and the millionaire's tax?
What's their contribution? 1% is not a contribution. Get with the private sector in what the private sector is making. This economy is in the pit. If they don't get that, we can't get the money. There's no money. There's no money to give them.
Jamie,
I agree, but the millionaire's tax should be part of the equation, and then it will be truly shared sacrifice.
So are you saying if there was a millionaire's tax, then you would go along with the additional givebacks that are being asked for, because the millionaire's tax by itself won't close the budget deficit, won't close the hole in the pension system, or, you know, cover all health care costs, right?
But the rub is, if there's a millionaire's tax, then you won't have to cut into the workers' salaries and benefits that much as the governor proposes and Scott Walker proposes in Wisconsin.
It wouldn't be as much. Professor Magyar from Rutgers, mm-hmm. what do you make of the analogy with Wisconsin? We heard a different public debate in Wisconsin with Scott Walker, the governor there, overtly proposing that collective bargaining rights be abolished for state workers when it comes to their health and pension and other benefits. We haven't heard anything like that in that blanket kind of way, in that conceptual kind of way, from Governor Christie, or certainly not from the Democratic legislative leaders. And yet they have, at least in this case, gone around collective bargaining to impose this with a legislative agreement. How similar, how different, in your opinion, to Wisconsin?
It's less radical in New Jersey. One of the proposals that was unveiled last week by a Speaker Oliver and by a Senate President Sweeney, which presumably is still in the compromise, although we're not sure. I would allow unions to negotiate over health care benefits again, starting four years from now. So I mean, this would be a short-term, 3-year, essentially, deal where collective bargaining. Collective bargaining benefits would be suspended.
So 3 years from now, they may collectively bargain the next agreement, or they may come through the legislature and get around it again. Whereas in Wisconsin, the law now is no collective bargaining period on those things. Jerry in Maplewood wants mm-hmm. to correct something that I said. Jerry, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. Thanks, Brian. I just wanted to correct one thing that you'd said earlier. The current, before this legislation, people are paying 1.5% of their salary right. towards health care. The new legislation changes to up to 30% of premium. Mm-hmm. So that's a fairly substantial change, and that could change from year to year. And the other point, maybe the assemblyman could comment on, the pension fund is not suffering from deficits because employees don't contribute. Employees do contribute a percentage of their salary into the pension fund. The states fail to match that like it's statutorily supposed to for the last several years. And I think that's an issue that deserves a little attention.
Assemblyman, do you want to comment on that?
I agree. For a number of years since Governor Whitman on, the state has not been kicking its share of its pension payments. So we need to catch up on that as well. And that's why we're at this point, because of the failure of past leadership to honor its commitment to pay into workers' contributions.
Is that part of this agreement, as you understand it? Is Governor Christie now going to agree to resume state contributions to the pension system? Assemblyman?
We don't know. I mean, the devil is in the details. This has been just negotiated between the Senate President, the Speaker, and the Governor's office. So that's why I would hope, as a Democrat and as a negotiating tool, we should have insisted the millionaire's tax be added into the equation, as well as start to make payments on past contributions that were not made by the state.
Brian, the...
Yes.
The state already has a law that was enacted in 2010 that requires the state to phase into full pension contributions over the next 7 years. As a part of this compromise, there's an additional provision written in there that. That it gives workers the right to sue the state if it fails to do so. So
yeah, but
this
Mark,
does
you know
appear
that
to
this
strengthen
is not,
it.
Yeah, Mark, but this is not a constitutional provision.
Agreed.
And, you know, I feel like a gun control advocate or a gun advocate, all we need to do is enforce the laws that are already on the book. We were supposed to make contributions, and since Whitman on, we've just failed in that regard.
All right, well, we leave it
agreed
there with the pretty big news that state Democratic leaders have gone along with Governor Chris Christie to enact pension contribution additions for public employees in New Jersey, as well as health care contributions additionally coming out of their paychecks. The unions are furious that the legislature went around the collective bargaining process, and we thank Assemblyman Reed Guskiora, Democrat from Mercer County, who is bucking his leadership on this, and Mark Magyar, Rutgers professor and blogger for NJSpotlight.com. Did you not like that word, bucking, Assemblyman?
No, that was apropos. So thanks so much, and I enjoyed being your guest.
But, by the way, why do you think the leadership went along with Christie?
We don't know, and unfortunately it probably has to do with powers above their heads and the art of making deals. But I just hope it's not at the that the state workers are not the victims in all this.
Thank you both very much for joining us. And listeners, tonight on AM 820 WNYC, we'll have a two-hour New Jersey special. First at 7 o'clock, I will host a one-hour call-in about Governor Christie and the state of the state. We'll definitely talk a lot about this. Then at 8 o'clock, we will air the audio portion of a Channel 13 call-in with the governor. Steve Adubato, who does New Jersey Public Affairs for Channel 13, will be hosting that. I'm sure he'll ask about this, too. It's a two-hour special on Christie and the state of the state tonight at 7 on AM 820 WNYC. Hope you can join us. Up next, back across the Hudson for an update on the end of session drama in Albany over gay marriage, rent laws, and a property tax cap. And now a proposal that could get a vote this week that is designed to destroy the Electoral College. We'll talk to the sponsor of that bill, Bronx Assemblyman Jeffrey Dinowitz. Stay tuned.